Hi there, listeners. Welcome to episode 77 of Never on the Back Foot podcast. This is me, Neha Shetty, and I'm so glad to have you all listening in. After a long break, we are finally back. And what an exciting test match we got to witness. The Indian team became only the third team after England and Australia to win a test match in Centurion since 1995. What a glorious win. This episode will cover the day-wise highlights of the first test match, a match report, KL Rahul's glorious form, Pujara's batting struggles and the opening batter's conundrum, India's impressive pace attacks. We will also focus on South Africa's lack of big totals and collapses, Quinton de Kock's retirement, loss of crucial World Test Championship points for Team India, major takeaways, India's ODI squad announcement and a lot more in this packed episode. The brief scores of the match entail India having scored 327 in their first innings, with Rahul top scoring with a magnificent 123, Mayank Agarwal with 60, Lungi Ngidi picking 6 for 71, and scoring 174 in their second innings, Rishabh Pant scoring 34, Rabada 4 for 42, Jansen 4 for 55, beat South Africa 197. All out in their first innings with Bavuma top scoring with 52, Shami picking up a fifer, and 191 in their second innings with Dean Elgar scoring 77, with Bumrah and Shami picking 3 wickets each by 113 runs. Let's now talk about the brief match highlights. Day 1. Opener KL Rahul produced a majestic knock in testing conditions en route to his 6th overseas century as India made a near-perfect start to the test series against South Africa. Rahul, who was batting at 122 of 248 alongside partner Mayank Agarwal, set up a strong platform for India with a 117-run lead back then, enabling the visitors to reach 272 for 3 at stumps. Virat Kohli's 35 of 94 was another good knock, but he fell to a loose shot after doing all the hard work, while the under pressure Cheteshwar Pujara lasted just one ball. Rahul and Rahane, who was batting at 40 of 81, who like Pujara is fighting to, you know, save his place in the team, were at the middle at the close of play. Rahane looked in good touch and will be aiming for a big score on day 2. Barring Lungi Ngidi, who took all the wickets on the fall of the day, South African pacers were just not probing enough in their line and length and offered too many loose balls. Persistent rain on day 2 forced the day to get called off as India remained on 272 for 3 against South Africa. Day 3, India took a 130-run first innings lead after bowling out South Africa for 197 in the final session on day 3 of this first test. Mohammad Shami was the pick of bowlers for India. He scalped 5 wickets for 44 runs in 16 overs. Temba Bavuma top scored for South Africa with 52 of 103 balls. In the morning session, India lost 7 wickets for 55 runs to be all out for 327. Shami's 5 wickets and his pace bowling colleagues Jasprit Bumrah and Mohammad Siraj with Shardul Thakur further enhanced their reputation as world beaters by dismissing the Protea for a mere 197. The quartet neutralized Lungi Ngidi's lion-hearted morning spell, which saw him finish for 6 for 71 from those 24 crucial overs as India lost 7 wickets from 55 runs to be all out on 327. Day 4. South Africa were 94 for 4 at stumps on day 4 while chasing a stiff 305-run target in the first test. Dean Elgar was batting on 52 after night watchman Keshav Maharaj was bowled by Jasprit Bumrah in the last delivery of the day. South Africa still needed 211 runs on the final day to win the test match. Bumrah took 2 wickets while Mohammad Shami and Mohammad Siraj took a wicket apiece for India. India beat South Africa comprehensively by 113 runs in the first test to take a very crucial 1-0 lead in this 3-match series. Set a stiff target of 305, South Africa were bowled out for 191 on the 5th and the final day of this opening test. At lunch break, Temba Bavuma and Jansen were batting on 34 and 5 respectively, as the hosts still trailed India by 123 runs. South Africa finished the fourth day at 94 for 4 with Dean Elgar, who was unbeaten on 52 after the Indian batters caved in on a track which had uneven bounce, getting all out for 174 in just 50.3 overs. Let's now focus on the match report. India began 2021 by defeating Australia at Sydney and then beating Fortress Gabba. On the final day of Test cricket in 2021, they finished by conquering Centurion. Now, this is South Africa's best Test venue, consigning them to only their third defeat in 27 Tests there. India's complete and deep attack provided a resolute South African batting with no respite and kept coming at them until the pitch yielded or the batters made a mistake, beating them comprehensively by 113 runs despite a whole day's play that was lost due to rain and more showers expected on the final day. South Africa began the day requiring 211 runs with 6 wickets in hand, but the only realistic tussle was between India and time. The forecast suggested rain could interrupt the final session, and led by a cussed Dean Elgar, South Africa would have wanted to last till then and then take it from there. Dean Elgar, played one of his typical nuggety knocks, but eventually Jasprit Bumrah and the conditions proved too good for him. In the 10th over of the day, even as runs came quickly as India hunted for wickets, Bumrah bowled an unplayable delivery to Elgar. On the surface, it was not spectacular, but it was a rare kind of ball. One, you can't intend to bowl. Bowling around the wicket, Bumrah pitched short of a length, seam upright, but the ball hit a crack and cut back in. For a moment, it seemed Elgar had that movement covered, but then the ball kept swinging in further and he just could not figure it out. Elgar tried to cover the movement but ended up missing the ball and was trapped LBW. Now the plan for South Africa was going to be, having Quinton de Kock counterattack. Now this was a low percentage approach, but the only sensible one given the amount of time left in the day. The ball was more than 50 overs old and the ask was a further 175 runs. The pitch might have slowed down a little, but it wasn't such that de Kock could not block out for a draw, not against this attack. So Quinton de Kock tried the counterattack. But one particular shot kept getting him in trouble, the dab, which also got him out in the first innings. Despite racing away to a quick 20, de Kock still didn't get any loose balls. India were into their second string now, that of Mohammad Siraj and R. Ashwin bowling from different ends. But there was nothing available to hit. Two balls after being beaten on that late cut, de Kock finally chopped Siraj to make it 161 for 6. With lunch not that far away, Virat Kohli asked Mohammad Shami for one more effort and his seamer delivered the all-rounder Vian Mulder. This ball was a thing of minimalistic beauty. The seam of the 60-over ball bolt upright, it landed on a length just outside off, making the batter play the angle and then left him ever so slightly, taking an edge so thin that the seam remained proud and upright till the time the ball landed in the wicketkeeper's gloves. South Africa survived till lunch, but post the interval, the end was swift, taking only 2 overs and bringing 2 bonus wickets for R. Ashwin. KL Rahul's impressive form. KL Rahul has learned to enjoy the defensive side of batting all over again that has helped him find his midas touch in the pinnacle of cricket, Test cricket. Having been dropped from the Test team after a lean run through 2018 and 2019 where he averaged 22.23 over 15 Tests in that period, mostly played away from home, Rahul has made a strong comeback this year, having scored 461 runs in 5 Tests at an average of 46.1, including crucial centuries at Lord's and Centurion. He has helped India set up these memorable wins. He credited a change in mindset for this transformation, specifically being able to enjoy leaving the ball outside off stump, an aspect of his game that has undergone significant upgrade. Pujara's batting struggles and a fantastic opening batter's conundrum that India faces. As Cheteshwar Pujara inside-edged a Lungi Ngidi delivery to give Keegan Peterson an easy catch at short leg to depart for a golden duck, The attention was brought back to the struggles of India's number 3. While Ajinkya Rahane has had it worse in India's batting lineup this year, Pujara too has struggled. He is averaging just under 29 in 2021 after 25 innings, and questions have to be asked about his place in the playing 11. Pujara, of course, has served India brilliantly, as shown by that career average that currently stands at 44.52. Away from home, he has been the man to come in early and blunt the new ball with greatest effect, and he showed real bravery and skill down under at the start of 2021. But as the year progressed, his ability to put up those meaningful scores has receded, and the excellence of India's openers has lessened the role for Pujara to regularly take on a makeshift opener's role at the fall of an early wicket. His numbers this year have shown a sense of decline. There have been no hundreds and a strike rate of 34.47 in 2021, and Pujara has been found wanting. He averages a little over 27 at number 3 in 2021, which is the second lowest among all those in the world who have scored a minimum of 200 runs. Four of his six half centuries this year in 2021 were scored in the first 2 months of the year, and he passed 30 in just four of the last 20 test innings. While his batting fortunes have dwindled, India's opening options have multiplied so much so that the team has as many four solid players who can, you know, slot up in the top. You have Rohit Sharma, Mayank Agarwal, Shubman Gill and KL Rahul. Injuries and periods of rest have limited having all four available together recently. Gill and Rohit are both currently absent from the tour of South Africa, but if more than two of them are fit, India could try to be a little more flexible and change their batting unit to give preference to recent form. Now, the overflowing reserves of in-form openers and their ability to adapt to different conditions thus presents India with the option of slotting them in different batting positions, including at number 3. Mayank has experience of batting in the middle order, while Gill could be considered as a replacement for Rahane. Both Mayank and Gill have been on the mark against the new ball off late in tough conditions, and there is no reason to believe why they cannot succeed against a relatively older ball at 3 and score big runs quickly. Even if an early wicket falls, they will know how to tackle the situation, putting their recent experience into play. All of India's openers have done the hard work in 2021, and it is time, you know, that we shower them with a little more of belief, including some backing to fill the other gaps in this batting order. Let's now talk about India's impressive pace attack. Now, the credit for Team India's historic Boxing Day Test win by 113 runs at Centurion against South Africa could be given to the bowling unit. Shami was among the best of all four pacers as he shined with those 8 wickets in the match, including a 5-for in the first innings. Following next was Jasprit Bumrah, who picked 5 wickets in total. Dean Elgar also noted that both Bumrah and Shami had made a successful bowling combination and that South Africa really found it difficult to figure them out. Even talking about the Indian Pacers and the impact that they've had in the memorable wins in 2021, KL Rahul mentioned that this is the best batch of fast bowlers and it is absolutely difficult to pick them in the nets. In 2021, despite being pulled back by injuries, Bumrah delivered 30 crucial wickets at 26.53 in tests. Today, India's pace attack is the reason why they can compete away from home so successfully. They've proven time and again that even if their batters don't get going, they can not only keep the side in the game but also win them games. They hunt like a restless pack, forever looking for ways to deliver a breakthrough, much to the captain's delight, and the undisputable leader of this lot is Jasprit Bumrah. South Africa's lack of big totals and collapses. Lack of runs in their first innings rather than leaking runs in India's first cost South Africa their opening test against India, according to Dean Elgar. After conceding 272 for 3 on the first day, thanks largely to their wavered morning with the ball, South Africa went on to take 7 for 49 on the third to bowl India out for 327. They were then dismissed for 197, which is where Dean Elgar felt the match was lost. Quinton de Kock's retirement. Quinton de Kock has announced a sudden retirement from Test cricket with immediate effect to spend more time with his growing family. De Kock was anyways due to miss the second and the third test against India on paternity leave, but has decided to step away from the longest format entirely. He remains available to play white ball cricket for South Africa, and he is undoubtedly a key cog in South Africa's batting lineup and the one person who could single-handedly turn the series around. De Kock has been a test player for almost 8 years and should have, you know, passed the halfway mark in international career, but it has been halted. Just to summarize De Kock's career, as a 29-year-old, he began 2021 as South Africa's temporary test captain and ended by retiring from the format. He led South Africa in 4 tests against Sri Lanka and Pakistan with a 50% win record. South Africa beat Sri Lanka 2-0 at home but lost in Pakistan by the same margin. De Kock had expressed concerns with the restrictions of the bubble life in this COVID-19 pandemic and was rested from South Africa's ODIs in Sri Lanka and against the Netherlands. De Kock made his test debut against Australia in 2014 and has played 54 tests, scoring 3,300 runs at an average of 38.82 with 6 centuries. His first century came at the same ground he played his last test, at the Centurion, where he scored 129 not out at number 7 as South Africa beat England by 280 runs in 2016. He went on to score a match-winning 100 in Hobart later that year, which helped South Africa, you know, win a third successive series in Australia. He averaged 63.18 in 2016, which was his best in a calendar year, and South Africa will definitely miss his services. Loss of crucial World Test Championship points for Team India. India has been docked a point on the World Test Championship points table for falling short of the required over rates during the Centurion Test against South Africa. They were deemed to be one over short of their target after allowing for unavoidable delays, and as per ICC rules, teams lose 1 point for each over they are short. The players were also fined 20% of their match fee. The sanctions were imposed by the match referee, and the umpires of the test too leveled the charge, and the team captain accepted the offence and the sanctions, so there was no formal hearing. India has also lost 2 World Test Championship points in August 2021 for maintaining a slow over rate in the Nottingham Test. Losing points over overrate offences could prove costly in the long run to, you know, the World Test Championship final, which will be in 2023. The World Test Championship finalists are decided by the percentage of points won, and based on that criteria, at the moment we have Australia, Sri Lanka and Pakistan who currently sit above India on this 2021-23 cycle. The change in point system from actual points won to percentage of points won was forced because of the COVID-19 pandemic, which caused various series to be postponed or cancelled, meaning participating teams would not all play an equal number of matches during this World Test Championship cycle final. Major takeaways from our thumping win, the first by an Asian team in Centurion. The 5-bowler strategy is here to stay. It seemed likely that India would continue with the same combination of 5 batters, 1 keeper and 5 bowlers for the rest of the series. The present playing 11 helps India as their number 7 and 8 could hold the bat well and could contribute with crucial runs down the order. This combination helps them make the best use of pace-friendly conditions in South Africa, while the spinner could come into play if the pitch has something in it later on. The openers have picked themselves up for this series. The opening standard of 117 runs between KL Rahul and Mayank Agarwal has ensured that India was well ahead of the game on the very first day of play in this test. The two have enjoyed a good second half in 2021 and have continued that good vein of form into Centurion. As they showed in the first test, they see off the new ball while also going for the attack whenever the opportunity arises. Given their rich form and also informed by the relative lack of options in the Indian setup, the team would likely stick with these 2 openers for the next 2 tests, but for an injury. The middle order remains the biggest concern for Team India. India's middle order batters haven't been among the runs for the past few years, and the trend refused to die down in South Africa. While Kohli and Rahane were able to get stats, they weren't able to convert them into fruitful scores. The South African challenge would require the middle order batters to stand up and be counted. And a win in the first test might have given them a bit of a breathing space, but they are by far India's weakest point in this series. Next up, does all-rounder Thakur provide enough lower-order muscle? Now, while India's openers, assisted by Rahane and Kohli, to some extent helped set up that strong base for India in the first innings, the lower order, you know, couldn't quite contribute, as on the third day we lost 7 wickets for a mere 49 runs. This was negated by a superb bowling performance by the Indian pacers, but the side still needed some quick runs in the second innings. Rishabh Pant answered back with a run a ball 34 that did play an important role in India crossing that threshold of 300. But India might need more of such contributions from the lower order, especially given the big names in the middle order who haven't been in the best of the shape in the past couple of years. Shardul Thakur is deemed as an all-rounder, and R. Ashwin has been more than useful on many occasions. And while this isn't their primary role, given the, you know, nature of South African conditions, a useful 30 or 40 might change the course of the game, and that's exactly what India needs. Ashwin might stay in the shadows for some time. Now, if the pitches continue to behave in the same fashion as they did in Centurion, Ashwin's role in the tour to South Africa might be limited to just, you know, playing as a number 7 batter who can bowl a bit and providing relief to the fast bowlers in the middle of their spells. India's leading wicket taker in 2021, he didn't pick up a wicket in the first 13 overs in the first innings and picked up 2 scalps towards the end of the second one after the quicks had done their damage. My last and final point will focus on India's ODI squad announcement. Rohit Sharma has failed to recover from the hamstring injury that kept him out of the test series in South Africa. In his absence, KL Rahul will lead India in the 3-match ODI series in South Africa. Jasprit Bumrah has been named the vice-captain of the squad, much to everyone's surprise. This was supposed to be India's first ODI assignment since Rohit Sharma was named the full-time captain for the format. But Rohit Sharma's recurring hamstring injury has emerged as a bit of a concern. Chairman of selectors Chetan Sharma said the decision to not send Rohit to South Africa was taken keeping that frequent injury and important events in mind, including the T20 World Cup and the ODI World Cup in the coming 2 years, is there. They just couldn't take the risk. India's 18-man squad welcomed back R. Ashwin, who last played an ODI in 2017, but made his comeback into the T20I side earlier in 2021. Venkatesh Iyer received a maiden ODI call-up, and as with T20Is, he might bat in the middle order and bowl a few overs. Now, this was a vacancy that was caused because of Hardik Pandya's inability to bowl longer spells because of his fitness issues. The other all-rounder in the squad is the young Washington Sundar, who missed the T20 World Cup with an injury but proved his fitness in the recent Vijay Hazare Trophy. Also coming back from injury is Shreyas Iyer, who has made a successful test debut too. The other potential all-rounders Ravindra Jadeja and Akshar Patel are yet to recover from injuries sustained during the test series against New Zealand. From India's last full-strength ODI squad that played England in March, the selectors have conveniently omitted Kuldeep Yadav, the Pandya brothers Hardik and Krunal, T. Natarajan, who's still injured, and Shubman Gill. Deepak Chahar and Ishan Kishan found their way back in. Between the England series and this one, India played an ODI series in Sri Lanka too. But it was a second string side because the main squad was in England to play the World Test Championship final and the Test series against England. Shikhar Dhawan captained that side in Sri Lanka and retained his place, but Prithvi Shaw didn't. Ruturaj Gaikwad, who was a part of that squad, didn't get to play but was retained for the South Africa series. Also discussed in the team selection meeting, as Chetan Sharma rightly pointed out, Ravi Bishnoi, Rishi Dhawan, Shah Rukh Khan, Harshal Patel and Avesh Khan are people who will definitely get chances in coming series, and they are players to watch out for. So finally, the ODI squad has KL Rahul as the skipper, Shikhar Dhawan, Ruturaj Gaikwad, Virat Kohli, Suryakumar Yadav, Shreyas Iyer, Venkatesh Iyer, Rishabh Pant and Ishan Kishan as wicketkeepers, Yuzvendra Chahal, R. Ashwin, Washington Sundar, Jasprit Bumrah, Bhuvaneshwar Kumar, Deepak Chahar, Prasidh Krishna, Shardul Thakur, and last but not the least, Mohammad Siraj. With this, we draw curtains on the episode that served as a review of the first test match of this exciting series featuring India and South Africa. With my exams finally done and a much-needed break also secured, we will be covering a lot of series and keep the momentum going. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode and for your unstinted support throughout. Here's also wishing you listeners a very happy and prosperous new year. Please follow and press the bell icon on Spotify and subscribe to the podcast on Google Podcasts or any of your platform choice for the latest episode updates, and please stay tuned. Do check out @NeverOnTheBackFoot on Instagram and @NeverOnTheBack1 on Twitter for the latest facts, trivia, quizzes, terminology, retweets, fresh tweets, and a lot more that's coming up this cricket season just for you. The podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, Overcast, and a lot of other platforms. So please do spread the word. Also, feel free to share your thoughts and suggestions for the already published episodes and recommendations for future topics. Do share this widely, and your support is really appreciated. See you next time, listeners. Cheers, stay safe, and take care. Bye for now.